Now, what was interesting was Chris's comment about if you want to get your Christmas, you know, get that, you know, that Christmas kick to get into the season. That's very apropos. Today, or this weekend, is the third weekend of Advent, and there's four. And generally, the themes are hope, peace, joy, and love. And so this being the third one, this is on joy. And when I think of joy, I better get my clicker. And I think this is very appropriate because as we go into a time of singing, of time of meditation, because that's what you're doing when you sing, you are focusing on the words, hopefully you are. If you know the song really, really well, you can probably sing them in your sleep, which means you don't have to think about it. But hopefully you are being able to focus and give Jesus your full attention. And I want you to be able to focus. Yes, we do need to have our joy kick-started every now and then. But we're going to talk more about that. But I want to begin that with this little clip here. And I'm sure just about everybody has seen this clip at one time or another in their life.
Hatchet, you're late.
Sir.
What do you mean by coming in here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time, sir.
You are indeed. Step this way, Mr. Cratchit, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It won't be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'm sure you were. Well, we won't beat about the bush, my friend.
I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer.
Which leaves me no alternative but to raise your salary. I haven't taken leave of my senses, Bob. I've come to them. From now on, I want to try to help you to raise that family of yours. If you'll let me. Well, anyway, we'll talk it over later, Bob, over a bowl of hot punch. Meanwhile, you just go and put some more coal in that fire. And you go straight out and buy a new coal scuttle. Yes, and you do that before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit. I don't deserve to be so happy. I can't help it. I just can't help it.
Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. And to Tiny Tim, who lived and got well again, he became a second father.
Uncle Scrooge!
And it was always said that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
He got a bad rap, okay?
Because we use, when we talk of Scrooge, we talk of someone who's grouchy and grumpy and just miserable on Christmas. Bah humbug. That's what he gets remembered for. And that's not really him. Really him is that guy. Is the guy who is full of joy and full of happiness and dancing and generous and just loves everybody. That's who the real Mr. Scrooge is. And because that whole name, Scrooge, has a meaning to it. It has a meaning, and it's not fair because that's really who he is. That's really who he is. He's the guy who, when I think of joy, when he discovered that, and even there's a scene before there where he wakes up from his nightmare that he's been having, and his housekeeper, she can't. she's blown away by the way he's been changed and transformed and how he's jumping all over the place and he's so happy. But there is a man, his transformation was as a result of joy. Something he encountered that changed his life. And what you get there, what you see there, is joy that gets expressed. And if I could have shown you the earlier scene where he wanted to dance with the housekeeper around the bedroom there and he was standing on his head and all doing all goofy stuff, that's what joy is. It's greater than happiness, greater than gladness. There's exuberance behind it, and the focus of joy. What's interesting? Joy is not about the emotion. Joy is about the source of that emotion. What caused it? What generated that emotion? What brought that about? That's what joy is about. That's when you look at joy, you have to ask the question, why? Where did that come from? What is the reason for that joy? Because joy is similar to elation. It's similar to happiness. It's similar to gladness, all that stuff. And joy is about shouts of exuberance. It's about people screaming for that happiness that just bubbles up and bubbles out. That's what joy is all about. So when you read that in the Bible, or when you hear people use that word joy or rejoice or anything like that, they're talking about this almost uncontrolled happiness that just boils over, that just bubbles out. That's what they're talking about. It's the feeling, and we experience joy. It's the feeling when you get that phone call that says, you've got the job. And you go, I got the job, right? And it's that feeling inside you that, it just, boom, it hits. It's that feeling of when you get the phone call and from the, maybe you've had to go for a blood test or some sort of test they've had to do to figure out if there's something wrong, and they come back, it's negative. Oh, awesome. Great. It's that good feeling. Or if you win a grand prize, if you've won the grand prize, Greg Clark, and it's like, oh, really? That's joy. That's what joy is. That's what joy is. And there's always something or someone who is responsible for, there's something that's caused that joy. Because it's not a constant state of mind, and that's the key thing. It's not that you're joyful all the time, because you can't be, because joy is that. And if you were like, all the time, we'd be worried about you, right? That's not that, but there is something about this joy. In Scripture, let me tell you the difference between hope and joy. Hope is Isaiah 9, which is a Christmas passage we use a lot, and I'll just going to read just a bit of it, and it says this, and you're familiar with this. This is hope. It's not joy. This is hope. It's Isaiah 9. Okay. So nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, and there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. There's a time that's coming. That's what it's saying. And the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine, and you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. There's joy.
as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder, for a child, and then it goes down to verse 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government and its peace will never end. That's hope, because it's talking about what's going to come. It hasn't come, hasn't arrived yet. That's like when you get the news, when a couple gets the news that we're pregnant, right? It's we don't have the baby yet, but we're pregnant. That's hope, right? That's the baby hasn't come, because it's totally different the day or the night the baby arrives, right? And you make those phone calls. Guess what? We got a boy. We got a girl. You know, it's there's a difference there. Luke chapter 2, which we read all the time. And you know, if you've watched Charlie Brown Christmas, Linus doesn't really do it justice when he reads from Luke chapter 2. He does very solemnly, and he's very, but he doesn't really do it the way it's supposed to be done. And not that I'm going to either. But let me read from Luke 2, verses 8 to 15. And this is joy. Okay, this is joy. Because there's one phrase here that marks it's happened. So it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. This is huge. This isn't a message God gave to some person to go tell the people. This isn't a John the Baptist thing. No. We're sending an angel. This is huge. This is cataclysmic for planet Earth that we're a part of. Great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. That's the phone call that says, we have a kid, you know, your grandparents, your aunt, your uncle, whatever, right? Born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem, let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Right? But Mary, she kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. That was joy they experienced. And I'm sure those shepherds were blown away. Imagine had you been one of those shepherds there and seen what happened in the sky. Go out in the sky tonight and look, and it's just you see stars. There's a few stars out there, right? But if you had seen what they had seen and heard what they had heard, and it happened, there was joy. And what you have to ask yourself the question, what caused that joy? What is the joy? What is the joy? And here's the thing. You and I, we live in the reality of that joy right now. We live in the reality of that news that the angel had for the shepherds. And what the angel had for the shepherds has been the news over and over and over. That's the core of the gospel message. That's the core of Christianity. That's the core. That's the pillar. That's the one single pillar of why we do what we do, why we gather, everything we talk about, everything we preach about, how we're to respond. It's because there was good news that was happening. It was good news. Do you ever have that elation about, are you ever brought to that place that the shepherds were brought to? Have you ever been brought to? That's a question to ask yourself. Have you ever been brought to that? Or have you lost the joy? Have you lost it? Because that can sometimes happen too, right? You lose it. Or you've never experienced it. You've never experienced that joy. There's a number of reasons why we could lose the joy. I think sometimes why we lose the joy, I was thinking about this. We put our hope in that joy in a church, in the style of church service, in what we get from the people. We put our hope in that, and it disappoints us. Or we put our hope in some rock star preacher, we get disappointed in that. And sometimes joy also fades, right? Because, I'm not clicking along here like I should be. Sometimes we lose our joy, or our joy fades because it becomes part of the furniture, right? You hear the gospel message over and 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 over. It has like zip effect on you. It's like yeah. We become so focused on the four spiritual laws we forget the good news that these angels brought. That angel brought. We forget it totally forget it. And it's the hope of the world. It's the central message for the world. It's the biggest news that has ever been brought, ever will be brought. No one will ever be able to bring a bigger, more brilliant message than this. This far outshined when Obama was elected as president for the first time. Because the whole world was aware of that. This far surpasses that. Far surpasses that. Obama's fading right now, right? He's a year away from just... right, you know, this is the quintessential joy. The key here is to get it back. And here's the thing too. It's not, the reality is, the truth is, you're not to live in this state. The gospel message isn't going to keep you in this state of euphoria, or, you know, oh, it's not going to do that. But every now and then, we need to go back, revisit, and recapture that joy, what it's about. And that's what's so special about Advent, that someone in the church, I don't know who, you probably know, you don't know the history of it? Do you know the history of it, Linda? I don't know. You're a Bible college person. But... you know, the church or whoever crafted that, you know what, we need to prepare for this over a period of 4 weeks. That's brilliant. Why? Because it allows us to ponder what this is all about, and to experience and to reignite that joy. Tonight we are going to light the candles, and when we light that pink one there, that's joy. When we light it, may our prayer be that happens in our heart, that we get to re-experience what this good news is. So here's the question. What's the good news? What's that? The Savior was born. But those words, and I love how it's stated here. The Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. And Luke has pointed this out, you know, what that angel said. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Because those three titles say a lot of who was born. It says everything. It speaks of this separation that has occurred between humanity and God. And it speaks of God taking the initiative to reinstate the relationship that was always supposed to be there, that we were to have with God, that you were to have with God. Because He took the initiative, not us. He took it. We couldn't take it. He took that initiative. And He took on flesh. And that person is named His Son, Jesus, came to earth, demonstrated, showed us what it's really like to be a human being, what it means to be a real human, how to live, how to really experience life. And He also showed us the way. He was the way to the Father, that I can take you to I can restore that broken relationship. And it was Him who said, you know what, you know all that stuff that you have in your life, that sin that just burns you down, that brokenness, that you can live a life of guilt, I'm going to take it on.
because that thing brings death. And I'm going to take it, and I'm going to experience death. I'm going to experience the lowest low of suffering. The worst part of suffering is dying. And he died, but because he was without sin, death couldn't hold him. And he conquered death. And as a result, because of that, that's the good news. The good news is that God has done that for all people. All people. I saw a crazy post this week. You might have seen it too. I've read it a few times trying to figure out where the person was coming from, but they were talking about the election, the elect few, and that God doesn't love everybody and that there's only the elect. You didn't read it? Gosh, I should show it to you. It's wild. Maybe you don't want to. But it was like you read that, and then you read Luke, right? Or you read the angel's announcement. And he says, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. All people. It's great joy for all people. When God took on the form of a human being through his son Jesus, when he did that, that was for everybody. 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 And that's the beautiful gift of all of this. That's the good news. That's the core. And I urge you, go back and ponder it. However you need to ponder, if you need to go sit on a rock by a stream, and none of the streams are frozen right now, so you can do that. You can go and sit there. And whatever you got to do to ponder that, to think about it. For me, some part of it is listening to Handel's Messiah again. Because it just nicely unpacks, but I'm bent that way. You know, I like that type of music, right? But to listen to that and to be reminded and to hear the choir singing. My daughter's going to Handel's Messiah tomorrow night. And she's like, I'm going to Handel's Messiah tomorrow night. What's that all about anyway? Just go. If someone bought you a ticket, just go. You know, it's just because it's something about being impacted by the core message of the gospel and being reminded. And that's the source of our joy. That's what joy is about. And my prayer for you is that, you know, you'll be able to, I want to say that you'll be Scrooged, but that you'll be full of joy, that you'll get to experience what he did. Because that's what we need. It can't be presents that give us the joy. It can't be, you know, having family dinners that gives us the joy. It can't be having a week off or 2 weeks off at Christmas to get joy. It's the core message that's joy. That's what it's about, guys. That's what it's about. So that's my prayer. That really is my prayer for you, that you'll encounter it this Christmas. Look for it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Anyway, I could go on and on. I'm not going to go on and on anymore. But you can come up, Chris. I'm gonna just pray. Because sometimes, you know, we can focus on. It's interesting. Luke, he wrote the gospel, his gospel, and he wrote the book of Acts. And when you read those two books, what you see, what he brings out from Jesus' ministry here on earth and the early church, the start of the early church, is this. Proclamation of the good news, the message, demonstrated by the power of the kingdom. You see both going hand in hand. But the good news that the angels brought didn't focus on the kingdom, but it focused on the king. That we have a king who has come, a savior, the Messiah, our Lord. He has come. And with the king comes his kingdom. It just naturally comes. And we get to see expressions of that. We see signs and wonders and demonstrations of the power of the King and his love for us. So, Father, that's what I pray tonight, that, Lord, as we come into worship, as we take part in the communion, as we take part in scripture readings and all of that, Father God, would you kickstart our hearts, our minds, Lord, to have a grasp of this good news you've given, because it's
It's so good. It's beyond this world. So, Father, thank you. And we say, Holy Spirit, come.